So as I mentioned, 50 days after the day of Passover, Shavuot. Say that with me, Shavuot. That sounded close enough. Was celebrated. Shavuot. It's called Pentecost in the New Testament in Greek because Pente means 50. It was 50 days after the Passover. It was known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest or the latter first fruits. And it was a time, as I mentioned, to present an offering of the new grain at summer harvest to the Lord. In the book of Exodus, we read that as Moses received the law from God, God told him to celebrate, all Israel, to celebrate the Feast of Weeks with the first fruits of the wheat harvest. In the book of Leviticus, where the feast is explained a little further, we hear these words, that from the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought that first sheaf of the wave offering, which would have been the Sabbath after Passover, count off 7 full weeks. And as you do then, count off 50 days after the seventh Sabbath, and then come and present an offering of new grain unto the Lord. So during the Passover, the people brought that first wave offering, and we understand that that would have been on Resurrection Sunday. You know, Resurrection Sunday. That's why the scriptures, by the way, refer to Jesus as the first fruit, right? Jesus' death at Passover and then his mighty resurrection on the third day signaled that that was the first fruit of God of many other brothers that would come. And it signaled that God's victory over sin and death in Christ then would be replicated in his followers, right? Who become the next first fruits, that's us. So just as Jesus was the first fruit of God's redemption, it was symbolized in his resurrection to eternal life, so then we, through the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit as he fills us, become first fruits unto God. In the book of James, the passage that I referred to during offering today, where it says that every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. It says in the next verse, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. The first fruits offered to God in ancient times were a symbol of the fuller harvest that was still to come. So the outpouring of God's Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the first Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection, signaled that the greater harvest had begun. Amen? I want you to know a couple of things about the offering. I just want you to be able to really understand the heritage of Passover, so that we can celebrate it with joy even more now. In the book of Deuteronomy, whenever God commanded this Feast of Weeks to be celebrated, he said that people should bring a freewill offering, listen to this, in proportion to the blessings the Lord your God has given you. You understand that God's desire was to bless his people. And then as you come to realize God's best blessings, as you begin to realize more and more what God's best blessings are all about, the more joy you have and the more willingness your heart comes to give unto God, right? Even to the point of you being willing to give God your whole heart, which is really what the filling of the Spirit is all about. God had said in the book of Jeremiah that he knew that the law on tablets of stone were not able to be kept because they were external. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he says, I will create in them a new heart. I will replace their heart of stone with a heart of flesh, and there I will write the true commands of God. Which is another way of saying, I will actually have such a love relationship with them and they me, that they will want to do my law because it's written on their hearts. Amen? So when we start to recognize how blessed we are, and come on, church, we are a blessed people. We are living in the new covenant, the day when Jesus has accomplished for us everything that is necessary, not only for our salvation, but for our growth in the Lord, our maturity in God, to be able to grow up in Him into the unity of the faith and the fullness of the power of God's Spirit and live godly lives. And live lives that are, well, likened to shining stars or salt of the earth. Amen? Because of God's Spirit within you. And then the second part of this offering goes right along with that. It says that you should rejoice before the Lord your God as you bring forth these wave offerings, these sheaves of new grain. Rejoice. You know, one of the fruit of God's Spirit is joy. And that is indeed one of the things that the Scripture tell us that comes whenever we are filled with God's Spirit and we begin to walk in His Spirit, because the Spirit is, right, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. With joy you shall draw waters, right? And the Holy Spirit is likened unto the living water that is within us. Rejoice, he said. I had mentioned once before in a sermon that old American spiritual, bringing in the sheaves, right? Bringing in the sheaves, right? That this celebration that we're talking about today, the Feast of Pentecost, was what inspired that song. That chorus of the song, "We shall go rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves," was the symbol of waving before the Lord the offering, because you knew it was God who gave it to you. We shall come rejoicing, Shavuot, right? Harvest time, the fullness is coming. It was a day of rejoicing that the ancient Israelites gave to God the first fruits of the harvest. The Jews today even still call it Bikurim, the first and choicest fruits, to thank God for the bounty that He gives. Bringing in the first of the crops was a way for the Israelites to show gratitude to God and express their trust in Him for His provision to continue in their lives. And it was a way, a tangible way of giving back to God, of giving thanks to Him for the provision of life and everything we need for life. Something else too, that in the Jewish tradition, even to this day, Jews believe that if you follow, Joshua, I'm going to look at you for this one, if you follow the Exodus from Egypt, when God, you know, on the day that we remember as Passover, right, whenever they were delivered from Pharaoh's hand, right, by the blood of the lamb that was on the doorpost and lintels, right, and God commanded them from that day on to celebrate every year. If you count off, the Jews say, then that 50 days from when they left Egypt, they would have come to the mountain of God, Mount Sinai. And it was there that God came down on that mountain and He gave them the Torah, which is the law. So Jews, even to this day, also celebrate or Pentecost as the remembrance of the giving of the law of Moses. And they rejoice, and in the Jewish household, they bring out the milk and the honey to remind them that God's word is like milk and honey, the provision that even was promised in the promised land. And they celebrate to this day, Bikurim, the giving unto God and the celebration of His bounty, milk and honey. During this festival, when the people thank God for giving them grain and for giving them the law, God chose this day. Listen, He chose this day. You know, there's no accidents with God. He chose this day to bring forth to this world the Spirit of life. Come on! The Spirit of life given on the day of Pentecost. So that now, that first Pentecost after Jesus rose, now in our covenant, the new covenant, becomes the remembrance of the first outpouring of the Spirit of life, right? Recall with me, just think with me about your understanding of how after Jesus rose from the dead, he did not ascend to heaven until how many days later? 40 days. Ooh, good job. For 40 days, the scriptures tell us that Jesus taught the disciples about the kingdom of God, right? Now, those 40 days, it was coming to a close, and I can just imagine, you know, now they had Jesus back with them after thinking they lost him, right? He was there bodily with them. It was him walking with them, talking with them again after they saw him die, but yet knew he is now alive. But now Jesus was telling them, I have to go back. I have to ascend back to heaven. Jesus said he has to ascend to the Father and establish his everlasting reign, receiving from God, right, all dominion, all power, and all authority, right? But in the book of Acts, it says this, Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, and after he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive, it was then he appeared over that period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And as on one occasion he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. Say gift. Remember that word, the gift my Father promised. What you've heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, Jesus still with them, they said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They still hadn't had the revelation of God's Spirit, did they? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but here it is, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So watching, now listen, can you imagine watching Jesus ascend to heaven? They watched it. They watched him just rise from the earth and be enveloped in the clouds. Watching, they must have felt an immediate sense of loss, right? Bodily, he was gone, but they remembered Jesus promised, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So listen, on the seventh day after his ascension, we find the disciples gathered in Jerusalem, in the upper room, right? Praying, watching. What were they doing, by the way? They were celebrating the Feast of Weeks. They were Jews. They knew what date it was. This festival was observed on the seventh Sabbath after Passover. So, on the 50th day, right? The 50th day, all Israel in Jerusalem would come together. They would come together to celebrate Pentecost. Parents, children, the male and female servants of the household, even fatherless and widows, they would come to give thanks and feast in memory of Israel's deliverance by God and his provision along the journey. And Luke is the one that tells us when his disciples were gathered together then, on that day of Pentecost, in that upper room, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. According to Luke, Jews from every tribe under heaven had gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the Pentecost. Learning what had happened, this multitude from every nation gathered to find the disciples declaring the wondrous works of God, the good news of Christ, in languages that each person could understand. How many of you remember what happened at the Tower of Babel? What happened then? Why were they scattered? Why did the people scatter? Because they could no longer understand each other, right? Doesn't it say that God confused their languages, the Tower of Babel? You know, when they were trying to build that tower, thinking that they didn't need God, they were going to reach heaven on their own power, build that tower the whole way to heaven. And God said, watch this. Right? And all of a sudden, you know, the guy working next to you says, give me the hammer, but you can't understand him. And all of a sudden, confusion happens. And, you know, my read of it is that some of them must have been able to understand some of them, but not all of them, because they kind of grouped together and went off and began to disperse throughout the earth into the tribes that we know today. Babel was the confusion of languages to accomplish God's purpose, dispersed throughout the earth. Yeah. Do you know Pentecost was the reversal of Babel? Because now God wanted to bring in the sheaves, right? He wanted to bring together people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and have them dwell in a unity that only God's Spirit can accomplish. That only God's Spirit could accomplish. And on that day, it was Peter that stood up, right? And explained to them, this is that which was prophesied by Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. How many are still seeing visions? Nobody got that one, Jason. All right, I'll move on. Even on my male servant and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So at Pentecost, Peter proclaims that the prophecy of Joel 2 has come to pass. But did you ever read that prophecy actually in Joel? Can you bring that up for me, Ty? Look at this. Right before this prophecy of Joel 2:28, comes these words. Let's go back to verse 23. This is cool stuff. Now, look at this. Remember, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy. So go back to verse 23 now and read with me. Here's what it says, Joel 2 and 23. Right? The prophet speaking the words of God. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you the abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. Verse 24, the threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. Now listen to this. Amy, this is for you. Verse 25, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. The great locust and the young locust and other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel and I am the Lord your God and that there is none other. Never again will my people be shamed. And then that is the precursor. That is the preamble to the promise of Joel. And in those last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. What God is speaking to us to understand is that the events of Acts 2, the pouring out of God's Spirit upon this earth, becoming a fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel in those last days, symbolized a new life coming into the believers of Christ that indeed would restore the things that were lost, that would restore unto them that which was eaten by the locust, spiritually speaking. Now, come on, let me just preach where you're at here today. What God is saying is He understands that before you accepted Christ and before you received His Spirit, you lived your life, both good and bad, each as they come, each in your own power, each in your own effort to try to make it through the hard times and try to celebrate the good. But He's saying that in these days, I will bring unto you a well of living water that you may tap into always, that will never run dry in your life. I will never leave you or forsake you, He says. That from this day on, God will not just be up in heaven that you may search for Him there, but He will be with you even in you, and He can be for you a source of blessing that are truly the best blessings of all life. The blessings of having God with you, in you, constantly reminding you of His love and His provision. God with us, right? Jesus walked among them physically and the disciples rejoiced. But do you know, through the fulfillment of Pentecost, God is with us now in a more powerful way. He is with us. Within us, that each of us may tap into a power that is way beyond ourselves to live this life, even through the hard times, in ways that we don't have to run dry. You know, I haven't run out of gas in my car for a couple of years now, thank goodness. But what a pain that is, huh? I came close the other day, I did, but... Yeah, I was actually thinking, okay, I'll get up this hill, and if I have to drift, I'll be able to drift down to the gas station. But you know, I remember in my life, before Christ, before being filled with His Spirit, going through tough times and not knowing how to tap into a source that could get me through. After Christ in my life, after God's Spirit filled me, I began to understand that I can push down into the living water of God within me and draw up from that a strength beyond my own, an encouragement, a hope that would never disappoint me. It would always be there, the living water of God. This is the celebration of God being able to fill you with His very presence, and you being able to say that there is no shadow of doubt, God is with me. And because He is, it's going to be all right. Amen? Provision, source. Fire. Anybody watch we were talking about this before church started, the royal wedding, you know? Kim had it on when I walked into the living room, and she was sitting on the couch kind of enjoying a leisurely Saturday morning, at least for a half hour or so. And then I went in and I sat beside her, more because I wanted to sit beside her than I wanted to watch the wedding. But yeah, so it was on. And then Megan, what's her name, Marcos, her pastor actually gave the sermon. Did anybody hear that? Yeah, he could preach. Yeah, I'm sure that he was very reserved, more so than maybe he was normally, but he preached on a bunch of different things, but the one that really caught my attention, because I knew what this sermon was today, was when he talked about the fire You remember that? Any of you that heard? Oh, if you want to hear a good message on God's fire, listen to what he said during the wedding. Kim said, he's preaching the gospel. I said, yes, he is. He's using the platform that millions and millions and millions would see and hear the truth of the fire of God that inside of us can burn with a holy fire. Right? Oh, here's the thing. You know, the Jews often talked about the dedication of the temple. Remember Solomon's temple? Do you know what happened whenever that temple was dedicated and the Shekinah glory of God filled that temple? Well, the Jews, the tradition in the Jews says that it was, again, both fire and cloud, fire and smoke, if you will, and the fire symbolizing the presence of God. No wonder that on the day of Pentecost, after Jesus did what he did, right, that it says that it looked like tongues as of fire that came down and separated and rested upon each one of them, because it was a sign of God's presence, right? Now being able to dwell within individuals. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of God. Do you know, one day, your Lord is going to stand in front of you and say, do you know what that meant? That you were my temple on earth. Did you really understand it when you walked upon earth? That I was there and you were my temple. I filled you with my very presence. And some people are going to say, huh? Right? But not you, right? Because you're going to say, oh, Lord, I learned to celebrate your presence. I learned to acknowledge you with me always. I learned to tap into the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. I learned and I walked in it, Lord. And he'll say, I know. I know. Well done, my good and faithful servant. For then you were able to accomplish my will. Amen. Because let's face it, you know, the scripture says, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We need God's spirit to be able to accomplish his will in our lives. There is no other way. You can't do it in your own power. You can't live the life of victory upon this earth if you're trying to live only in your own strength. We must learn to tap into God's very present strength in us. God's Spirit. Amen. Oh, he says, he will come inside of you and you will have new life flowing within you, right? Isn't that what he said? You know, it was at the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, where they remembered having to live in tents out in the wilderness. And they remembered how dry it was in the desert. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, it says, on the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up among them and he shouted in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And it explains very clearly in verse 39, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who had believed in him were later to receive, because up until that time, the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now he is, and he has poured it out, his Spirit, him, into your lives to make God real to you, to bring you into an experience of the living God, and to allow you to tap into the wellspring of all life, the source, right? The headwaters, if you will. Ah, Kim sang a song today, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What does that mean? Right? We're freedom for what? It is by God's Spirit that he breaks the power of sin in your life. It is by God's Spirit that he gives you the freedom to walk in the new way, not the old way of the stone tablets, but the new way of following God's Spirit in your life into his will, being guided directed, led, empowered by Him. Freedom to live the life God always wanted you to live. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What does it mean for you this morning? You know, I believe that all of us here today are followers of Christ. That means that we've accepted Him as our Savior, as our Lord, and have invited Him into our hearts, understanding the forgiveness of sins. But not everyone has tasted of the fullness of God's Spirit. If you're here and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and today as you're hearing this sermon, you know, you've said, you know, I hear what you're saying about the water of God's Spirit and refreshing, but for me, in my walk with Christ, it feels like I'm walking in the shallow part of the river, right? The shallow part. And you may have a sense that the river goes deeper. I'm here today to tell you it sure does. Peter said these words as we close here this morning, as all the onlookers had gathered. And he told them what Jesus had done, and he said unto them, and this promise of the gift is for you and for all whom the Lord God would call. Right? What must we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive. And you will receive God's Spirit. I believe that we receive God's Spirit in the measure that we are willing to. We're wanting to. For God doesn't violate our own free will, does He? But He waits for us to open up. So this morning, on this celebration of Pentecost, we're going to close today with an opportunity for every one of us to open our hearts again and to ask God to come anew and to fill us with more of His Spirit, to allow us to go beyond ankle depth, maybe even go beyond knee depth. How about to dive into the river of God? Experience times of refreshing, an outpouring of God in you, maybe that you have never experienced to this day. But this promise is for you. God desires so much for you to open up and receive. Let's do so today. Would you stand with me and let's worship and let's open our hearts and ask God to fill us anew this day with the life-giving Spirit of God. The life-giving Spirit of God. Father God. Lord, we come and we open our hearts today. We open our hearts to You, Lord God. We understand, Lord, that Jesus came that this might be possible. That this is that which Joel prophesied, Your Spirit being able to fill each heart that has been cleansed by Your precious blood. Lord, we who are believers come to You today, and we ask You to pour out a new outpouring of Your Spirit in our lives, oh God. We need You, Lord. Father, pour out the living water, times of refreshing in our lives. Your very presence in us, Lord. And Lord, let it manifest to us in a way that we know that You've come. Lord, let Your Spirit manifest in us today. Allow us to feel Your Spirit moving within us, even as we call out now. Freedom, Lord, in this place. Thank You.